be honored. I pray, God, in these moments that you'd get honor and glory. I pray that in particular, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. Help me, Father, not be distracted. May I focus on what you've reminded me of, what you've thrilled me of in these few weeks. Lord, looking back over these familiar texts and stories, and I pray we would not be sentimental, but we would be very spiritual. I pray we not just be interested, but we'd be transformed, and that you would help us in particular. I pray all this in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I have a question this morning, a little help, and a little help. I usually start on the right, but I'll start on the left today. If I start a little Christmas, I may do some secular, but it's a Christmas song. Can you help me if you know the rest of that? If you know the rest of it, can you do that? These folks over here, some of you are like, nope. Others of you are like, everybody's giving me the bunt sign. The bunt sign. So if I say joy to the world, the Lord has come. There's like three of you participated. The rest of you stared at everyone else there. So we'll try it one more time. You guys, you got time to warm up. So joy to the world. All right, that's much better. Boy, that's y'all getting more excited. A funeral's going to break out over there. All right, so that's a bad shape there. Talking about the hope of Christ. All right, you folks in the middle, you're all spread out there. You're all spread out. So again, we'll go a little secular here. Maybe we'll speak to you. So if I say the little silly song, Frosty the Snowman. That it? Had a? Nope. That's a different song, isn't it? And I got him. And yeah, that's the other one. That's the that's a Rudolph, right? Yeah, Frosty the Snowman. So. You get it. You mingled them. All right. So we run them all together here. I'll go back. A regular song. Well, it's a little bit of both, I suppose. It's fairly secular. I heard the bells on the glad familiar tidings say. Right. How many of you doing this? How many of you knew all the songs so far? Even the two songs we mingled together. All right. When we talk about Christmas songs, it's pretty easy, right? Pretty easy. Even the silly ones, right? Grandma got run over reindeer. And somewhere, I've said it outside of Birmingham, Alabama. I don't know where it started, but so the story goes, you know, some DJs got a hold of that and said, that's not true. And they put out a counter version to Grandma Got Run Over Reindeer. It says, Grandma's got a black belt in karate. She knows karate and jujitsu. I'm just telling you that no reindeer did Grandma in. We've been eating reindeer stew. And so if you get bored in the sermon, you can Google it, see if you can find a copy of it. We've done all kinds of things to mingle and mangle Christmas. But here's a song I don't think we know real well. Here's a Christmas hymn, so sung by the church, so here in the scripture, about the hope of Christmas. And I'd like to introduce it to you or remind you of it, maybe if you've heard it in years gone by. And I would like to thrill you again with the hope of Christmas. It's ironic. It's unbelievably ironic. what we would consider first world countries, Japan, Germany, a lot of Europe, America, Canada, this November, December is some of the most miserable times of the year for people. It is some of the most hopeless times of the year. Mark's a first responder. Mark could tell you story after story. This is the time of year where people injure themselves or try to injure themselves. And it's just, it's so ironic. And instead of the most hopeful time of the year, this is the exact opposite. And I want to speak a little bit to that, but I want to speak here about this man who's been looking for this, and maybe help us introduce a new song. One writer said of Simeon, and he's an unfamiliar character, we get to one shot at him, that he was a man who was led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, and obedient to the will of God. And by the way, this is one of those things too, I want to remind you, they're doing this, and it's been dark and quiet from God for 400 years. Generation after generation, there's been no Elijah, there's been no Elisha, there's been no Malachi, there's been no Ezekiel, there's been no Jeremiah weeping prophet. It's just been the Old Testament, and they've just focused so inwardly, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they're just running amok with their religiosity, and it's just bad. Why keep going to the temple? We haven't heard from God. Why keep sacrificing? We haven't heard from God. And we get those folks last week, those desperately hopeful people. And God said, I've heard you. I'm going to do something you didn't think was going to happen. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to send you a baby. I'm going to send you a baby. Zechariah all of a sudden said, no, Lord. And he's like, well, look, if you're going to tell people not to believe in the word, I'll just keep you quiet for 9 months. He gets done. First things he says, his name is John. He's the one with grace. And so we learn from that. So we're here. Let me ask you a simple question as we get going. How many of you would like to have a bag full of hope when you leave? Anybody need a little hope? Anybody know somebody needs some hope? Need some hope. So how do we do this? By the way, if you get this, if you hear these messages and it's Hallmarky, and again, I know I keep picking on Hallmark, but it's just easy. If you see people, thin people in attractive sweaters with perfectly coiffed hairdos, even though it's snowing, understand that's movie magic. And everybody's makeup looks just right and all. And the presents are automatically wrapped, and the turkey's never burnt, and people, you know, they fight, but they get it resolved in 45 minutes. How many of you just love to live there? And, you know, those kind of things, then you're missing it, because that's not what's happening here in Scripture either. They're in the Roman occupation, haven't heard from God. Life is complicated, and we meet this man here. We meet this man. He sees the baby. He knows this is who it is. This is the Messiah. This is the hope for one. And he gives us a song. He gives us a hymn. Warren Wiersbe says of this song that it's really got three parts to it. He says it's a worship hymn. If you got your notes here, you can fill it in. He said, blessed. He starts off with praises. If you want to understand the hope that is Christmas, then you need to get really acquainted with who Jesus is. One of the men's groups is going to be looking at Jesus for the next month, and they're going to be doing that and looking at Christmas and seeing him. The Wednesday night 6 o'clock class that meets. We spend about a month and a half nothing but Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will give you hope, and you ought to praise him. I've said it a few weeks ago. I'll say it again. One of the silliest things we ever do is try and get people wound up to sing to Jesus. Man, it ought to be the easiest thing in the world. There ought to be videos of some of you at the stoplight and you caterwauling at the top of your lungs along with the radio. Man, having a grand old time. We've got some songs we like to sing. Some of you, man, when we sing that or leading the song, man, it resonates. It resonates with you. You can just tell. Two or three of you, man, you like Jesus Messiah. And man, when it just, you're good to go. There ought to be something when we're singing about Jesus, when we're listening to people singing about Jesus, and aren't going, man, that's it. That's who gives me hope. That's what I'm built for and made for. And as I look in the scriptures, and I love when you look and you see there's a promise for me, but I hope you move on from that and you start going, hey, there's the scriptures and there's something about Jesus. There's something about God. There's something about the Lord maybe I didn't know or hadn't considered that'll help me and be a blessing to me. It is a worshipful hymn. One of the things we try and do here in planning out the music, planning out the specials, one of the things we do and stuff we hand out and all, is we try and make sure we don't make it about us. You listen to Pick Your Poison, Christian religious programming, radio stations, whatnot. If you're not real careful, it's just about us. Jesus is my boyfriend. Jesus is going to fix everything. No. Jesus is to be worshipped. Jesus is to be feared. Jesus is to be praised. Jesus is there, and he starts off, blessed. Blessed, if you're missing it there. He says in verse 28, he took him up and blessed God and said, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to offer a praise or a blessing to them in verse 34. He's going to do that. You want to really get tuned up here? Find you some music that you can sing to, that you can listen to, that directs your heart heavenward, directs your heart toward who Jesus is. You want to have a little fun this year? Find you some Easter music. Find you some up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes, because he was born to die. He's come to redeem us. If you just stay fixated, the babe in the manger, that's not the worst thing in the world. But remember that the shadow of the cross falls over the manger in Bethlehem. And to praise God, the consolation of Israel is not a familiar phrase to us. We typically, if we say consolation, we're talking about somebody who's been bereaved, somebody who's who's sad, a UNC fan who's dropped three or four, five, six games in a row to blind girls' teams in middle school, and you offer consolation to those people. Those of you who don't follow college basketball, it's okay. And I'm about to stop following it myself. And you're here. Wes Rucker is I think he writes for a lot of people, but I think he's connected with the New Sentinel. But anyway, he writes and a prodigious kind of following online, and bless his heart, trying to persuade people about some things, people offering him consolation and all for the UT football program and stuff like that. And so all these, we usually use these this kind of way. That's not how it was. The consolation of Israel was the messianic hope. No matter what's going on, God promised he would send the Messiah. No matter who's conquered us, God would send the Messiah. No matter how bad it got for the people of Israel, God was going to send. And so they would look at each other. We know what's going on now, but God has promised. Let me just pause for a second. I don't know what's going on in your life. I can tell you something, though. If God's made you a promise, if God's put a promise in his word, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. God's never been late. He's rarely early. He's always on time. He's never asked for help paying the check. He's never needed to check in with anyone or anybody. God has it handled. And when he said this, he said, I've seen the consolation of Israel. May I do this? And it is a worshipful hymn. Christmas is not about us. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is not just about Jesus. It's about him fulfilling his promises and being born to save us from our sins. It's a salvation. Excuse me, it's a worshipful hymn. It's a salvation hymn. It's a salvation hymn. He says, I can depart now. I'm ready to die. I can do this. By the way, when you figure out who Jesus is, you're ready to live and you're ready to die. And until then, you're not good at either one of them. Some of you, when you came to Christ, it's like you finally figured out what's going on. It's like you finally did that. I've talked to so many people, like, man, I go to bed, and, I didn't know if I believed in God or not, but I was kind of nervous because I wasn't living right. And I knew if the Christians in my family were right, then I was in a mess. People came to Christ, and they said, man, the first time in my life, I think my adult life, I had a great night's sleep because everything was right between me and the Savior. I don't emphasize that because I don't think salvation is just about, or all the, as much as maybe some other, I don't think salvation is just about going to heaven. I just don't. I think salvation is about so much more. It's about being justified by God giving me his righteousness. It's about being forgiven. I'm relationally right with God. Excuse me. It's about being his child. It's about so many more things. But he said, I can now depart. I can now, I am ready to, because I have seen him to see the Father. It's a salvation hymn. I wrote this song down, Southern Gospel song, once like a bird in prison, I knelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, oh, glory to God. He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. It's a tricky melody, or I try and sing it. Darkness and night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, he set me free. I may be feeling a little more hopeful already, right? It's a worship hymn. It's a salvation hymn. It's a missionary hymn. It's a missionary hymn. Missionary hymn. Take an offering for me to get some batteries. It's a missionary hymn. If we're not real careful, Christmas becomes all about us. Becomes all about us. Anybody in here, you have a Christmas buying list? You use a Christmas buying list? How many of you it just happens? Whoever you are in the family, it just happens. You don't know what's there. All right, a few of you. How many of you are mad at the people who don't plan? Mad at the people who don't plan, all right? How many of you are like, So... My dad worked retail all these years, so many years of his life, worked at JCPenney's and worked at Belk Tyler, selling men's clothes. My dad was never more annoyed than he was. He worked back when Black Friday meant people on commission and stores would kind of get out of the hole on Black Friday. You know, that was back yonder. Now it's just a big sale day. My dad was inconsolably ill the week of Christmas. And if he had to work on Christmas Eve at when he was at the before he left for another job, he was supervisor. He a lot of times had to. And we didn't understand his kids. Finally, he's like, you got these people come in, and they've all of a sudden been surprised by Christmas. And they come in, and they don't look at sizes. They don't look at anything. Lady came in and grabbed a handful of handkerchiefs. She was giving them to girls. She needed something, and they were on sale. He said, and I didn't want to ring it up. I said, well, how come, Dad? It's money. He said, it's because it's coming back. It's coming back. He said, these people buying stuff, you're going to see them again. You're going to see them again. And they don't love their family. They don't love their family. They're sitting there. They buying a striped shirt and a paisley tie. Who in the world does that? And he come in just mad as fire, you know, Merry Christmas, woo. And because the way people were acting and all those kind of things. He never saw people running over each other in Walmart. He passed before any of that kind of craziness that was there. If we're not real careful, Christmas becomes all about us. I was on a group phone call. You still with me? I was on a group phone call last week, and guy was widowed and remarried. He's late 60s. He said, my new wife. By the way, if a pastor says my new wife, it gets your attention pretty fast. Anyway, but I knew his story. He said, my new wife said the grandchildren or great-grandchildren are coming over the house. I ain't going to church on Christmas. He said, what do we do? Another guy said, brother, this is a discussion for ministry things. You need marriage counseling. And he said, I know that, but I can't afford it. Anyway, so it was all ha, 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 and I'm just there. He said, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I said, well, there's one thing about it. You ain't getting nothing for Christmas. Anyway, he's here. So I think he finally said, I'm going to church. I'm going to leave my wife there. I'll preach to her later. So anyway, I can get his name and number if you want to call him and pray for him. And we're here. And anyway, it was a lighthearted kind of thing. They were, in all seriousness, they were trying to figure out what's the best time to have something. We get real, it's not about us. We're having a Christmas Eve service. We're trying to give some opportunities. If you are completely bound up with family and stuff like that, I'm not slamming any guilt. I hope you can make one of the services. I'm thrilled. But we're going to have service of some kind at some point because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. About Jesus. Church becomes all about us. Church becomes all about us. No, it's about Jesus. The problem is when we don't figure out the gospel. You got your Bibles open there. Got your Bibles open. Just look back. Look back. My eyes have seen your salvation, verse 31, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of the people of Israel. Christ was come. So that what? Because he was going to say, one of the first things he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And Christmas is an opportunity for us to invite people all month. Christmas Eve, one of the things we figured out, man, is a lot of folks are used to Christmas Eve service, and it's sweet. We'll have the candle, and I'll give the gospel, and I'll give the gospel again. I've got something special for the kids on both those instances. I found a new book, new story, and it's going to be great. I may put on a sweater or something. I don't think I own a sweater. I'm going to sit down, gather the kids around, read them the story of Christmas, and I've got a picture book I'm going to show them and all those kind of things because it's about Jesus, about the gospel. It's about getting that to people. And we stay busy and we stay too programmed and all those things, but it should be. I think some of you all, what I want for Christmas is for my loved ones to be right with God. What I really want for Christmas is for them to get right with God, for them to come to Christ, for them to know and understand it's a missionary hymn. He gets it. He wasn't born to liberate them from Roman tyranny, just that. He was born to liberate us and save us from our sins. He uses three pictures here. He says about who Christ is. First off, he uses the idea of a stone. Verse 34, Simon blessed him, this child is set for the fall. It's an image of a stone there. And they're rising in. This is going to be a block, a stumbling block. This is going to be not just a foundational thing, but this is going to be the thing that Israel is going to trip over. By the way, they're still tripping over it. They still don't get it. So many of them do not. There are Messianic Jews. There are folks who are racially Jews and believers in Christ, but they still miss it. They're still looking forward to that. One of the things you see in Revelation is that those 144,000, those are Jewish evangelists. They get it, and they are saying, hey, the Messiah was who he said he is, and he is coming back. And so we get to do that. It is a stone. People like a Jesus they make. Have you ever noticed that? Say silly things like, well, my Jesus wouldn't. What do you mean your Jesus? We're not talking about meatloaf recipes. We're talking about the Son of God. You mean the biblical Jesus, right? The biblical Jesus has spoken. I don't have to wonder what he thinks about things. He has said what he says. He said who he is. He has said what is important to him. I always like it, you know, people start losing an argument. They would say, well, I just don't think this matters. Anybody ever get in an argument and somebody starts losing and they say this doesn't really matter? Anybody? Are you the aggressor at that point? And you see, oh, there's blood. And you go in for the kill. So you're like, go in for the kill. That's not what the sermon's about. It's stone. He says, be a sign. This shall be a sign. Be a sign. Your Bibles are open there. Again, look back. He said, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of the people of Israel. These things are, and behold, the child is set for the fall, verse 34, and rising again, and a sign for which shall be spoken against. This is it. God has kept his promise to Israel and to the world. The birth of Christ, everything lining up. The star appearing, the angels come and announcing all the prophecies that are there, the astronomical odds that all of them would come to pass and be born exactly where he said he would be born, to the people he would be born to, that both of them can put their lineage back to David over and over. This is it. He's not a good man. Good men don't claim to be God. He's not just a prophet. Again, prophets, good prophets don't claim to be God. This is a sign. By the way, you ever wonder what Christmas matters? Is there any impact the birth of Christ? John Ortberg did a, it's a long book, but anyway, just a little summary here. He says, you can from this date, from the birth of Christ, the life of Christ forward, these things are different in the world. How we view children is different in the world. The ancient world children routinely died of exposure, especially if they were girls. Paul's going to write, you'll see it in some in Philippians and Ephesians, where he talks about some different things. Their culture was, if you had a child and the child was a daughter, you go leave them on the trash heap. It'd be food for the ravening wolves, the dogs that would come through, or the temple folks would come and pick them up and raise them as prostitutes. That's how little women were thought of in that time. From the birth of Christ, began to be treating them differently. Orphanage began to spring up. A guy named Bach, B-A-K-K-E, wrote a study. He said, when children became people, the birth of childhood in early Christianity, children matter. It was an irony this past week at a women's resource center. They help ladies to not only not have abortions, but provide resources and counseling and help and job training. Folks impersonated being from a church, came in, sat at a table, ate the food that was provided. The lady got up to speak after a lady who had been helped, sitting there with her infant daughter who'd been rescued from the savagery that is abortion, was sitting there. These folks got up, started yelling obscenities, figured out there were different tables. They had to be forcibly escorted out in all of this at a fundraising dinner for people that were trying to help. And instead of the barbarism and the butchery, these are folks, and again, it's everything that pro-life folks are accused of not doing, these folks were doing, and they did all these kind of things. I would remind them, man, they need a little Christmas lesson. Children have value and dignity. Because Jesus came. what he taught. Education. Ancient world loved education, only reserved it for those who could afford it. The idea that children bear God's image fueled the move for universal literacy. By the way, in the United States, the public school movement goes back exclusively. Everyone needs to be educated for salvation. If you want to debate me sometime, come to me. We can have a good conversation. We're a long way from that, by the way. Love of learning led to all kinds of things, including universities. All became because we were to love God with our mind and compassion. Jesus loved the poor. He loved the sick. He loved the leper. The modern-day hospital movement puts its roots back to here. You have names like Good Samaritan, Good Shepherd, and all these kind of things because they used to be voluntary charitable institutions. The ancient world didn't value humility. Jesus modeled it. And nobody forgave. You forgave in order to get leverage on someone instead of, I forgive you because I have been forgiven. Then the humanitarian reform, slavery on its way out, all kinds of things that are here, the way ladies are treated. All of these things come from, Ortberg says, and studying world and world culture goes right back to Christmas. He said he'd bring a sword. He said this sword will pierce your side, or pierce your heart. Is there anything like Jesus to divide a family? Anything? Anything like the gospel to divide a home? Lady gets saved, says, man, I can't sleep with you anymore. I can't. And we got to get married. Men and divide. Divide. Young man gets saved, goes, hey, I can't go drugs and drinking with you anymore. Life's different now. Life's different. It divides. Hey, we're not gonna blow all our money. We're gonna put hundreds of dollars in the Christmas offering on top of our regular giving, man. It divides. Living for Jesus, the gospel of Christ, it absolutely, positively divides. We're going to church this Sunday. We're going to do what's right. We're not going to watch that. Andre and I picked a new show up the other day. We watched the majority of it. I looked at her. She looked at me. Says, "Well, I don't know how it's going to end. We're not watching that anymore." It divides things. It divides things in our life. Man, the gospel does that. It would be a sword, and it was going to break her heart because she was going to live long enough to see her son crucified on the cross. Gentle. Meek, mamby-pamby, no opinion, never say anything controversial. Christianity is foreign to the Bible. It's foreign to the Bible. Say, preacher, what does all this mean? You still with me? So here we go. Let me give you a couple things. Number one, Jesus is not a baby. Not just a baby. He's the Messiah. Messiah in the Jewish year, same word for Christ in the Greek. Messiah was prophet, priest, and king. He's the prophet. He's not going to speak just for God. He's going to speak as God. The Messiah would come. He'd be the priest. He wouldn't just come offer up sacrifice to God. He was going to be the sacrifice. He was going to offer the sacrifice of himself, wholly acceptable to God. There would be no more sacrifice needed. He was the once for all men. He was a prophet and the priest and the king. It's amazing. The babe in the manger is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He came in humility the first time. He will not come in humility the second time. He will come in all his glory and splendor, and he is the king. He is the Messiah. He is Messiah. Don't miss that. Number two, Jesus' life was a demonstration of his divinity and power. Take up your bed and walk. That's power. He speaks in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all the soldiers fall down. Divinity. Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. If you get Jesus as a nice fella who did nice things for people who couldn't help themselves, and he would have been a good neighbor to have, you miss it. And if you don't see that in the manger, if you can't, as I've said before, if you don't see the shadow of the cross over the manger, over where Christ is there in the basement of that house perhaps, with the other animals, you miss it. Miss it. Number three, Jesus was born to die for the whole world. That's it. For the Gentiles and the Jews. I'm just silly enough to believe that Jesus died for everybody. I'm just simple enough to believe Jesus died for everybody. I believe everybody can be saved. I don't believe everybody will be saved. But I believe Jesus loves every man, woman, boy, and girl who's ever been born on the planet Earth. I believe his desire is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that the resurrection and the cross is sufficient for all and efficient for those who believe. And this is his desire. One of the reasons we have the Christmas, one of the reasons we'll go hard on Christmas Eve, one of the reasons we'll open the doors on Christmas Day is because Jesus wants to save them from their sins. I'm amazed sometimes people who, I did this. Well, I got wet when I was younger. That's wonderful. Well, I did. No, it's all great. It's all great. But has there ever been a time and a place where you realize you were a sinner and you asked Jesus and Jesus only to save you from your sins, put your faith and trust in him? Is that your present reality, or is that still future for you? If it's still future, I got news for you. You can have the best Christmas you ever had because of the first Christmas that ever took place. The Messiah had come. Number four there. You're not ready to die. And I should have changed the notes. You're really not ready to live till you meet Jesus. Simeon, ready to die. Ready to die. Mark shared with us a Thursday morning. Responded to a call. The two folks, not real far from here, were involved in the fatal car accident. Best estimate, according to the paper, was they went off the road, and you remember how wet it was a few days earlier this week, and they went off the road and died. They died alone, no family around. They died unexpectedly. The observation is that they didn't have on their seat belts, and they hit a concrete embankment pretty hard. Mark said as they were transporting, he reminded them, be careful. Young man's created in the image of God. Show dignity. He wondered, he shared with us. I hope that young lady is ready to die. Thought about that all week. I knew where I was headed preaching. You interact at Christmas parties, you hang out with family, as you get to your family's party hoping you can get out soon before the uncle starts talking about politics. As you do the gift exchange, wonder all of a sudden if you're re-gifting what somebody gave you last year from that group, filled with terror and dread. I need to have invitation right now. A lot of you are feeling guilty. And you understand, you and I have an appointment we may not know anything about with the Lord. You're certainly not ready to live, but I can promise you, you're not ready to meet the Lord until you have figured out that the gospel is for you, that you're a sinner, and Christ came to save sinners. We're not ready to meet him. We're not absolutely ready to meet him. People ask me sometimes how I'm doing, what I'm doing. Sometimes I feel like talking about it, sometimes I don't. Usually I just say, I'm so healthy they check me every 90 days. That's how healthy I am. The thing that always runs through my head, or a lot of times runs through my head is, they ought to be checking all of us. Because I got news for everybody I'm looking at. You got an appointment. You're going to keep. You don't a bit more know when that day is than I do. I'm a little more clued in. Some of you are as well. Your different health needs. You'd be ready to meet him. Simeon's got it figured out. Again, what a man, and we know so little about him. I am ready to depart, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I am ready to go, and you have prepared. This is your plan. So what's a church to be about? What's our lives to be about? Man, helping people understand Jesus was born to die, because you got a date with death and you got an appointment with the judge of all the universe. And John 3:16-17, which we're learning in our church this month, said he didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned because you're already sinful and dirty and rotten and low down. And you may not be as bad as others, but you're bad enough. And God has said only perfection can stand before me. And so either you're going to go on your own merit and that's insufficient, or you're going to go on the merit of Christ, which is all sufficient. And you can take his righteousness. And let me introduce you to the one who was born and never sinned and died and rose again for people like you and me. Because that's the hope of Christmas. It isn't a full table. It isn't paid for presents. It isn't what my cousin did one year, finding a giant bow to put on a car, getting it parked outside, surprised his wife, surprised Sandy. Those are neat. Christmas, you can have it every day of the year because Jesus came. Because God kept his promise. Because God will keep his promise. That's the hope. That's the hope we need. Would you pray with me right now? Well, there's a lot I want to say. This is such a beautiful hymn and promise. Lord Brandon mentioned a moment ago a lot of folks we need to pray for, and